Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. My name is Andrew Rickle. As briefly introduced earlier, I am the Lutheran pastor that is called to Grace House with the Episcopal Lutheran Campus Ministry that mainly operates at Georgia Tech, but also has some touch points at Georgia State, Agnescant, and Emory University here in Atlanta. I say I'm not Pastor Fritz, but Fritz is my middle name, so hopefully it won't be too drastic or jarring of a transition for y'all this morning. I've also only been in Atlanta for about a year now, so I'm still trying on this whole y'all thing, so we'll see how this goes. But it is great to be with you, to hear and to join with you in worship, to hear about the incredible work that you're about, to share a little bit about what we're doing at Grace House and stewardship, but most importantly, talking about what God is up to in our lives and what God is up to in this world. I'm a little suspicious, though, of Pastor Fritz this morning, just will say. Oftentimes when I get asked to preach, I get to travel around and do this often, and sometimes I run into pieces of scripture that are a little challenging to preach on. And I always wonder, did they leave town on purpose this weekend, or is this because they didn't want to preach, or is there something else going on here? But it is my joy to be here with y'all today. There's a lot to unpack here in this gospel this morning, isn't there? There are talks of resurrection, talk of marriage and children, what that eternal life and kingdom means and looks like, and what's all this talk about this God of Moses and Jacob and Isaac. I can't read through the gospel this morning and think about today without thinking about my grandfather Edgar Fritz, funny enough. That's where I get it from. And about him and his life, because today was an important day for him. He would have been 105 today if he were still with us and living and all. But he always said that this was the one day out of the year. At night, he would always have a friend over, and they would always have a beer together, and that friend was Martin Luther, since they shared a birthday. And so that was his one thing. But I was always amazed by my grandfather, because he was one person that had plenty of opportunities to be a pastor if he wanted to. But he decided instead that he wanted to be about rolling up his sleeves and working for the church and doing the work of the church all around the world, not just where he was. He was the director of missionaries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Asia for the longest time. And so he got to travel to Japan and to Korea, to Papua New Guinea and all these places and see what the church was up to and what the church looked like in those places and in those contexts. And these places where God was alive and active in the world. It was always amazing and inspiring to me going over to their house, because he would have things from around the world, of things and gifts and things that he had purchased or brought back with them, crucifixes from Asia and pyramids from Africa and things from around the world. And it kind of always stopped and caused and reminded me to look back and to look into the world and where we are and where we find ourselves. Jesus this morning, if we take a step back and look at the larger narrative, this falls in between when Jesus enters in on the back of that donkey and what we now celebrate as Palm Sunday, and on the opposite side, what we now call Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and then Easter. So this falls during that week where Jesus is spending time in Jerusalem before he's turned over. And this is one of those times and one of those moments where Jesus is sitting there, and religious leaders of various types and shapes and forms come up to try to trap Jesus and to pose the question that he couldn't answer, to give a response to something that he might not know the answer to, or might, in some way perjure himself or blaspheme himself in some way. For them to be able to say, hey, look at this guy, you think he's so great, but he doesn't exactly know how this whole thing works as well as we do, or he isn't anything special. And so in the course of time, as Jesus is sitting and chatting and hearing this kind of a hypothetical question coming from these gentlemen today, Jesus once again stops and redirects us and points us back again towards this God of the living, right? Even naming off these people, right? Moses and them, that for them had been dead for thousands of years probably, but saying that they are very much alive and that God is a God of the living. And that always still makes me stop and pause a little bit, right? It's kind of one of those moments that kind of make the hair on the back of my neck stand up just a little bit, or just for a moment, to think that the God that we worship and the God that we know, the God that created us and molded us and formed us and shaped us, is a living God and an active God, right? What does that mean? We had that in our Job reading this morning, right? I know that my Redeemer lives, right? And that sounds great on a hymn, and that sounds great in Handel's Messiah. But then that next line is always the one that stops and makes me pause just for a moment. And that in my flesh I shall see God. About what that looks like or what that means to say that we are a part of a church and a part of a faith that worships a living God. That in the here and now and in these bodies that we currently form, that there is work to do about the kingdom and for the kingdom. That there is work to do around being the hands and the feet of Christ. And there is work to do of how we respond to that gift of grace that we receive so freely. There is work to be done in the world. And about how we are not as individuals doing this, but as collectives, as congregations, as small groups. What is that? As two or three gather, there Christ is there with them. About how we do that work together in partnership, in harmony, to show that our God is a living God and our God is an active God in the world. I had this moment driving in this morning as I was coming in for this first service this morning when I came down kind of past the lake. And I always point places. I don't actually know where anything is. But it's, you know, it's out there someplace, that lake. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But I had this moment where I was kind of coming down over this dip of a hill. And all of a sudden I find myself kind of enveloped and wrapped into this cloud. Of fog, I guess it was, this morning, coming down past the lake. And now don't call the bishop and tell him that I'm going off the lectionary, but it made me remember a different piece of scripture we didn't read today. Hope it's okay I talk about that. But it reminds me there of the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, right, where we hear those words, therefore, since I'm surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud is such a physical thing that you can see and that you find yourself in sometimes. And to think that that's what the body of Christ is like, that's what this living, breathing God is like here on earth now, is this cloud that envelops and surrounds you. It kind of always just, yeah, gives me the chills a little bit. And kind of makes me stop. I had to stop for deer this morning too, but it made me stop for a second. And to think just a little bit about what that means for not only for me to be a part of that, but also for the work that I'm about and the work that we do in the kingdom about how we are all tied and connected to that larger and greater body of Christ. It's always kind of amazing each and every work when I'm working at Georgia Tech. The big ministry that we do is kind of a hospitality ministry, but it's a coffee house ministry. So on Thursdays from 1 to 6, we have a free coffee house. Now, sure, it might not be Starbucks or anything like that, but I think it's pretty good, I think. But if you ever find yourself through Midtown on a Thursday afternoon, need a cup of coffee, feel free to stop in and say hi to us. But we're there, and it's still amazing each and every week when I see students kind of come up and they try to hand us money as we hand them their drink, or as they kind of pull out their, you know, buzz card to swipe for meal swipes and all that kind of stuff. And we say, I know this is free. This is just something that we're here to do for you, to serve you in this way. And they always kind of stop and kind of give me a very bewildered kind of pause and look a little bit, and they kind of glance back out at the sign again and say, I just saw a free coffee sign. What building is this? What is this a part of? And I get to share with them that we are a ministry, that we are here working at Georgia Tech because we are living a life following a king who is alive, a God who is alive and that is active and embedded in the community there at Georgia Tech. And so then I get to tell them about you guys, okay? I get to talk about you guys. I do quite often. I hope that's okay. But it's all good things. Don't worry. No, it's all good things. But I get to tell them that there was this larger network of churches, of individuals, of welcome groups, of confirmation groups, of other groups around the metro Atlanta area that give money and donate to us in order for us to do this work and to do this ministry for them, for it to be free. And their minds kind of get a little rattled a little bit when they not only stop and pause and think about, wait, something's actually still free in this world, but that there are people that are out there in the world that are looking out for me and doing something on my behalf that I've never met before, that I'm never going to meet before, that I've never come encounter. I'm not related to them in any way. And so I get to talk for just a few moments about what the body of Christ looks like with them, of saying that we are part of something bigger because we worship a living God that spans all ages and times and space, that we worship a living God that connects us and unites us as people across the world, no matter where we come from or where we're going. And to be able to talk about what that means to worship that living God. When I get to come around and I get to talk about work and when I get to talk about stewardship, I always kind of say three things in ways we engage our faith and three ways in which we can live into and dive into that embodied work of worshiping a living God. The first is through our prayer life. The first is through just simply the ways in which we stop and we pause, we take a little bit of time out of our day to think of others, to pray for others, to consider others, to think about the needs of our community, the local or national or international, about how we are once again redirecting ourselves towards this body, towards this life in the here and now, not some pie in the sky when we die, but here in the now. About how we orient ourselves around where God is calling us to go and we truly listen to that calling. The second is the ways in which we serve, right? The second is the ways in which we roll up our sleeves in mind or in body and about how we dive into what it means to be a part of a church and a part of a community. And that can be praying, participating in worship and singing in the choir, or being a part of the clarinet ensemble, being in the worship band. It's about serving if you're helping out with confirmation or First Communion classes. It's about sitting and talking with the folks at Two Sparrows about how you can be faithful servants of your land here and where you're being called to go with the work that you're about here. And it's about serving and helping out and not just praying for us, but engaging with ministries that are outside of the church. And that's the cool thing I get to do is travel around to tell people about what your work does here and what your financial support specifically does in enabling the church to be the church in places where congregations aren't or in different places or scenarios or settings. And finally then is our financial contributions of what we do with the treasures we have in whatever way, shape, and form that might take. But the ways in which the work that we do, the ways in which the finances and all that we have is using for the betterment of the kingdom, to be that kingdom building, to do that kingdom work, whether it's here, whether it's in Tanzania, wherever it may be, to be about that work in the kingdom. We all kind of probably in some way know that piece of scripture, right? Where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. For the longest time, I heard that wrong. For the longest time, I always thought, well, where my heart is, my treasure will be also, right? So if I just kind of will myself to care enough about something, then eventually, you know, everything else will kind of flow and follow in behind it. But what it actually says there in Scripture, it says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. When we have that investment of our time and our talents or our energy or whatever it may be, that is then the things that we start to care about. Those are the things that we start to value and to look towards and to find real purpose and a sense of belonging and community around. It's those things where we invest ourselves and where we dive in and where we attach and where we connect ourselves to things. And it's always amazing to me, and I stop and pause each and every Sunday when I hear these words as we pray the Lord's Prayer, and I will leave this with you this morning. Think about that when those lines come around that petition where it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are about that kingdom building. We are about that body of Christ because we worship a living God that didn't stay up in heaven and stay up someplace else, but came down to be a member of this world, to be a part of this world, and to call us towards that deeper embedded life in the community together, loving and serving and witnessing to a God that is very much alive. Amen.